Welcome to the ADEB Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we discuss the musicians Hatsune Miku and Gorillaz, so I guess be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett had the idea for Gorillaz while they were sitting around watching MTV. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the ADEB Club. My name is Andrew Whipple.
And I'm Alex Wade.
How are you doing on this Tuesday? We don't usually record on a Tuesday.
I'm doing good. I'm going home to Seattle for the weekend, for Labor Day weekend. Gonna get to see Bumper Shoot, some Carly Rae Jepsen.
Nice, nice, nice. I am not going to Seattle, but I am gonna be going to Portland. I think like right after you get back from Seattle is when I'm leaving for Portland to go to XOXO, which actually, if you look at our download numbers, that was the biggest spike in downloads that we got last year, was people listening to this after at XOXO. I told them it was a podcast I hosted, and then the noticeable precipitous drop off with the next episode. So who knows? Maybe we'll get some of the people that listened once last year to listen to this again. No shade. It's perfectly fine. You don't have to listen to our podcast.
All the shade.
Yes. But on speaking of the podcast is a thing that we do. And on this podcast that we do, we ask questions about things that we would want to talk about. And this week's question, that was a fun little intro that we did there, but I'm not going to redo it. This week's question is Hatsune Miku a real pop star? Question for you to ponder. What if this is the one that we just like, we don't actually answer it. We just end it right there and then leave it as like a conversation piece with like 30 minutes of silence for people to think about their own feelings about the question.
And that's what you're in for right now. And bit. That
and
was great.
Bit. And it. Bit. That was a good bit. Good bit.
Good bits.
Hatsune Miku, pop star. Is she? Real.
Yeah. First off, I think obvious answer is yes, and why not is the question that I think, you know, more.
Well, obviously like, the reason that she is real is because she is a real person who is my best friend and we hang out all the time.
Yeah. And you not have a body pillow of edit that part out.
Okay. there are plenty of PG to PG-13 reasons to have a Hatsune Miku body pillow, I feel like. I don't know what they are, but I'm sure there are some.
Yeah, let's go with that. So she's an animated character who is has a pop star career and has songs made for her by, I don't actually know a lot about Hatsune.
Let me actually, to that point, let me talk to you about the like 15 minutes of research that I did before we actually recorded this episode, which is a first. I feel like I haven't yet to do research that isn't like, we're doing a Detective Pikachu episode. Let's watch Detective Pikachu. But so Hatsune Miku, you're partially correct that she is like this animated character where songs are written for her. But her actual original start is she was created as a piece of what's called Vocaloid software, which is a thing that was popular in Japan late 90s, early 2000s, continues to be popular. But like that's sort of the time period we're talking about where you can like do synthesized singing. And so you can buy a different Vocaloid and a different Vocaloid will have a different like vocal timbre and vocal quality to it, and then you can use that to like synthesize synthesize the singing to add into songs and music tracks and the like. And so Hatsune Miku was created as a piece of Vocaloid software, but the one thing that sort of set her out from the outset was the creators of it also saying, hey, to make this more appealing to producers to buy, we should attach to this some notion of like, who is the character? Who is this person who is doing this robotic singing that you're synthesizing, rather than just having it purely be a piece of vocal software with you know, a name attached to it.
Interesting. That's fascinating. And then from there, did the star become born, or was it like a, they were going to just sell this as like, here is our cool software. And then it focused in on Hatsune Miku. I'm like, are there other big things that came from this software? You know,
yeah. Let me pull back up the Wikipedia page just to make sure that I'm not saying anything wrong that I'm half remembering. But I think my understanding of it is that it's the so like there's Vocaloid is a software program that's created by Yamaha and has had a bunch of different versions. Hatsune Miku is one voice within the Vocaloid software that then continues to get like updates and you know, tweaks going forward. But the it's a mix of her being like very aggressively marketed as a thing to say like, hey, you know, this was super successful. People really liked buying this and using this as a Vocaloid package. Let's continue to market it and play it up on that. Like having her sponsor race cars and things like that, or be a sponsorship thing on a race car. But apparently the thing that like really sort of drove her up was, on the like Japanese YouTube equivalent, people started doing a lot, like really latching onto this character and latching onto stuff that you could, like, you could buy the software and make a song that has, you know, her singing along with it. Then they at the combination of that and then a fan made freeware, like 3D modeling plugin, for like models of Hatsune Miku, that like the combination of those together made that blow up as like, oh, you can make your own relatively easily, make your own Hatsune Miku music videos. Apparently one of the most popular ones is her doing the, like, do you know the leak spin polka meme thing?
Oh yeah.
There's a video of like Hatsune Miku doing that, and like that became one of the things that first started like blowing up, or was notable parts of the like, let's blow up Hatsune Miku as like a cultural thing that we know about in Japan, and start to follow and lean on.
So can I go to a concert with Hatsune Miku?
You can. Yes. She also does concerts.
Oh my God.
Yes. And so the way they do that is either she's performing on her own, in which case it's all to like pre-recorded tracks and things like that. And then there is a like, they basically do the, I believe it's the similar thing they do for like the Tupac hologram, at Coachella, where this is extremely tangential, but indulge me for a second. They use the same illusion that they use in the Haunted Mansion, which, is all actually like an old stage magician's trick from like the 1880s, 1890s, where you have like a piece of glass at an angle, and then you can like shine, if you shine a light on a thing and then the way that it reflects through the glass make it looks like something is like ghostly hanging out in real space when it's actually off to the side. I think they do a version of that for the like Tupac holograms and for Hatsune Miku when she does live performances. And then sometimes you'll have her like performing quote unquote with, though who knows, maybe not quote unquote, depending on what we talk about, performing quote unquote with other artists. And in that case, it'll be like either there's this hologram and then there are other musicians that are playing alongside her, or maybe it's like a video. I know a band I like, Anamanaguchi, did a song with Miku that I think when they perform it live, they'll just have like a video screen playing the like pre-rendered animated Miku bits.
I would honestly say that then yes, she is a pop star, because if you're that big and you have concerts, I mean, what qualifies you not to be a pop star, not being a human?
That's the question. That's the question. Can software be a pop star, and or can a character be a pop star? Yeah. Hmm? Throw that to you.
Is she the pop star, or are the developers the pop stars?
What's the definition of the self? Who knows? Who even knows?
Oh my God. Well, that's what we're getting into. So, is the self required to be a pop star, to have a profession?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess taking a step back, like there is that thing that you see, and I feel like you see it more with music than you do with other genres of performance, but there is this like almost fetishization of authenticity that seems to be a big thing in music, of like you'll hear people say like so-and-so is better than so-and-so because they write their own songs, or because like it's more of an authentic you know, they're more authentic, or because like they sing about the real issues, or et cetera, et cetera. Like, oh, you know, we're going to listen to grunge now because grunge is real compared to hair metal. We're going to like, you know, even within the world of pop stars, you'll sometimes see it of like, you know, is Nicki Minaj more or less real than Taylor Swift, for instance?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but that's real in sense of like marketed or something, right? Mm. Not in sense of like they exist, you know?
Sure, sure.
They can think for themselves. Like, Like you can still have a collective of people who are quote unquote real, who make something, right? Like it doesn't have to be just because you do market research and you try and figure out things doesn't mean that you don't find something that is genuine and, you know, good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess to that point, what is a band if not like four people creating their own concept of what the four of them are together, other than that's different than the, that's inclusive of the contributions of the four of them, but is different from the four of them individually.
So why can't you expand that to whatever the size of the group of people is that does Hatsune Miku, that makes it, you know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think this is an interesting one because this is definitely the most immediately that we've come to an agreement and a almost like conclusive end. To pull the curtain back a little bit. If we're kind of like in that position where it's like, yeah, I guess so, because what is she if not? Well, maybe even like, yeah, think about that. Like, what is she if, where is the, is there any dividing line that's meaningful between her and any other kind of musician? And I think we're both leaning towards the answer being no. Is there anything to explore within that of like further clarification around why there's no difference, or is there a devil's advocate position to take around like, yeah, you guys are saying no, but also you're a bunch of like nerds who like robots, so of course you're going to say no.
Yeah. I think there's somewhere to explore in gorillas in the sense that they are more distinctly, they're not a program, right? So they're one guy who voices them, but is he a rock star? Are they rock stars?
Yeah. So for gorillas, to all actually know, I just know more of this off the top of their head, but basically they are a, from a musical, there's a bunch of different ways you can sort of define who they are. So maybe that's even interesting in and of itself. There's like, on the one hand, a lot of people define gorillas as it's Damon Albarn. He's the guy from Blur. He's the primary creative musical force, primary songwriter. And like, he is gorillas. Another way of looking at it is that you can say like gorillas is the combination of him, Damon Albarn, and all of his other musical collaborators who work with him on like creating this together. And that's what gorillas is. And in that case, I guess it's, you know, if you only look at those two things, it's pretty similar to any sort of dominated by a particular creative force band where you say like, is Bob Dylan and the band Bob Dylan primarily? Or is it like the collective of all of them together? Is Bruce Springsteen and the East, is like Bruce Springsteen just Bruce Springsteen, or is it Bruce Springsteen and the East Street Band?
Freddie Mercury.
Is you know, Queen and Freddie Mercury, et cetera, et cetera. But I think then the other interesting thing is the other way that a lot of people define gorillas is thinking about it's the collaboration between Damon Albarn of Blur, the musician, and I think it's Jamie McKelvey is his name, but let me double check that, who is a like comics artist, and he is the person who Jamie Hewlett, excuse me, not Jamie McKelvey. I don't know where that name came from. And Jamie Hewlett is responsible for like the visual design of who the characters look like, as well as like adding like he's the two of them. I think collaborated on like who are the characters that make up gorillas: 2D, Murdoch, Noodle, and Russell. Which that one, I am looking at the Wikipedia page, but I actually just happen to know that. So they jointly collaborated on who those characters are, whereas Jamie is responsible for the art side of it, or visual side of it, and Damon is focused on the musical side of it. And like within that, do you say the unit that is gorillas, is that defined by this non-musical and musical collaboration?
Yeah, that's... Who would be defined as like the artists versus rock stars? Are the characters rock stars? Is the guy the... This is crazy.
It's sticky. Yeah. So like, yeah, who is the... I think it's like there's different lenses you can take this at where it's like, okay, if we look at it like... If we get boring and look at it from a legal perspective, okay, Damon Albarn writes all the songs. He's the one that gets the checks. He's the one that gets the publishing royalties, blah, blah, blah. So like on that level, fine, it's him. In terms of like what do you do when you go to see a gorillas performance, actually even that has changed. So previously in the first years, it was much more of like you're just seeing the animated band perform. And then there is no like visual placed on the real life musicians. In later years and later tours, I've never seen them live, but I've seen videos of them live. It's more of a split where it's like you'll have the, you know, I think mid tier, it's like you'll have the characters portrayed on screen, and then you'll have like silhouettes of the musicians shown on stage. And then on like Plastic Beach and beyond, it's like very explicitly you are watching all of the musicians play in like full spotlights, and then maybe then there's also some animated stuff that's happening behind them. But like they've started to be more forward about who are the musicians that are actually doing the live playing.
That's fascinating. So who would be in the like hall, Rock Hall of Fame if they made it in?
Interesting. You know? Interesting. I mean, again, probably I'd have to imagine they'd be like Damon Albarn, but would it be like Damon Albarn, and would it be like Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett? And my guess is probably yeah.
Yeah. The kind of biggest issue I see with all this is it's all just generally labels and just trying to figure out how we're going to be labeling these different things. So it's less about, I don't know, who gets credit, who gets, you wouldn't say, oh, there's a rock band, Gorillaz is the rock band, without mentioning, it's like, oh my God, wow, they're animated creative things. No, it's done by this guy, right? It's a full conversation. It's not just a one-off thing. So I guess at the end of the day, this is all kind of moot, but it's still like a, like, what's the next step beyond this? Like, what happens when we get to something where there is a program that creates things and it takes little input from the user, but it's still like a – like, I know – actually, there's this fantastic thing that I learned of in my, like, freshman philosophy course that was about there were these pieces that were being made by an artificial intelligence that were – indistinguishable from classical Beethoven pieces. And by indistinguishable, I mean there would be professional, like, symphonist people who know classical music. They would listen to several different pieces that were done by this AI and then also by Beethoven, and they would say, yeah, these are all done by Beethoven. So in that case, who made those pieces? That is where I think it gets more interesting, because that I think kind of has a more identity of self of a person, not a full identity of a self of the AI, but it does have a semblance of something, you know?
That makes a ton of sense, because there is a difference between like what is the argument about is Gorillaz a quote unquote real band or not? Well, okay, it's still all being created by people. And then Hatsune Miku kind of blurs that lines a little bit more, because it's like the entity of Hatsune Miku is almost more the instrument that is being used by like thousands of people. Anyone can make a Hatsune Miku song as long as they pay for like the software. So like that blurs the lines a little bit, but it's still people that are making things and using this tool and persona to like do it. Yeah, what is it like when it gets purely to that level where it's even the creation side of things is fully fully artificial?
Yeah.
Do you have a take? Do you have a thought on where you fall in terms of like who is the author of a artificially created an AI created piece of music?
Yeah, I think it slowly starts to get into more. It's obviously a spectrum. So if there is user input, like Hatsune Miku is obviously kind of still created by people, but it's still in that realm where there is this artificial part of it. But if you start to get where it's like, oh, Hatsune Miku does like little improvs or does tiny things into it, it gets more in terms of like a collaborator sense.
Interesting.
It's like they're kind of an artist. They're partially artisty. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm of two minds, whereas like, there's the half of me that's like purely thinking about like, okay, yes, it's way more complicated and there's more like smarts to it, but is there a fundamental difference between an artist using an artificial intelligence versus an artist using a guitar? Like, are they both fundamentally the same thing in that they're tools? However, and I don't think we're remotely close to this yet, but I'm also someone who's like very pro, hey, when a artificial intelligence, you know, walks like a human, talks like a human, not literally, but like if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck kind of thing, and it's for all intents and purposes, seems to be human. Like, dog, that thing is, we should consider it sentient. And then at that point, yeah, I think it's even stickier, because you're like, what is it like when you are, where is that line between, like, Hatsune Miku, for instance, I would call it still gets sticky in terms of thinking about her as an artist versus the person who creates the thing as an artist, but like, it's a tool very explicitly. Like, I see zero difference between Miku and a guitar. I see still no real difference between I press a button and an artificially generated piece of music comes out and a guitar. And then in that case, the like creator of the algorithm is like a guitar maker, in terms of their input into the creative process. If it were to be the point where it's like you're interfacing with a truly sentient artificial intelligence that's really good at making Beethoven sounding music, then I guess, yeah, at that point, it's like this collaborator thing where it's like you're collaborating with an equal person who happens to be synthetic and artificial.
It's like the inception of artificial intelligence. And I, for one, will welcome our robot overlords.
Yes, yes. I'm sure I feel like you said that in at least like four of these.
They need to pick that up, okay? When they come and they listen to all of our podcasts, they need to know that I'm on.
That's true. We got to get it like in the, get it in the ether, get it like transcribed and then floating through the Google bots. Is there any functional difference between so far, everyone we've talked about, there's been that explicit layer of like fictionalness to it. It's like Gorillaz is a thing created by Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett, and it's played by real people. And in the context of their music, they're performing characters. Then when they perform live, it's kind of more blurry, but like that, there is that distinction. Same thing with Hatsune Miku. It's like this fictional character that comes from a Vocaloid that like real people write songs for, but there is that like distinction. What about like, think about like Blackpink or NSYNC or Taylor Swift even, or any of these people who are like very, very carefully curated pop stars but curated without any like explicit lens between them as people and them as like their performers. They're like curated so as to be sort of authentic.
Like they are their brand.
Yeah.
I thought I kind of have about that of this gray area in between. So like you were saying, how there's an actors who are performing in a movie and that is fictional versus like Taylor Swift, who is like fake in a sense, right? And I'd say the key is finding the people who are kind of in between that area, like Logan Paul or I don't know, I'm just giving examples of bad people, or a Fox News reporter like Sean Hannity or Alex Jones, right? Who they curate this personality that also has a sense of like, oh, it's just a joke, bro. Like, or you have a Twitch streamer, right? Like Dr. Disrespect, for example, I think is a great example of this. He's in this interesting middle ground where he's kind of an asshole and a dick, but that's his persona that he puts on. But then there are times when it's like, okay, does it matter that that's a persona?
Yeah.
In the sense that it has real world effects. So it's, ooh, it is, you are what you do, right? So is this guy, he says he's pretending to be this guy, but if he just is that guy,
Yeah. Where does responsibility lie in a world, jumping back to what we talked about last time about like, what does it mean to be an adult? Like, where does that responsibility lie in a world where you're constructing personas? Does the responsibility quote unquote lie with the persona or, and especially more to your point, this is more common or more of an extreme thing when like the personas themselves are, can be like provocative, or does it lie with the creator of the persona who is acting out the persona?
Yeah. And how far, because like everyone has a persona to some degree, right? Like that they put out on a public facing thing, whether that's at work, whether that's to your friends, your family, et cetera, right? And those are all you distinctly. But there's a certain point when it's like on this cusp between fiction and reality of like, one of my favorite things to do is to go out to bars alone by myself and to meet random people, because I can, not so much I can be whoever I want, but I can be versions of myself that I don't get to explore so much with people or my friends, right? And it's still a version of me, but it's like on this edge because I don't want necessarily other people to see that, or it's like not, I care less about what these people think, so I can do ridiculous things that are just different, if that makes sense.
There's like that freedom in the persona to be different, that like remove the things that you tie in as like the constraints of your other persona that you play as the not person who is out at a bar. The like Alex Wade at work and Alex Wade like in other social situations persona versus the Alex Wade at a bar persona.
And then there's even a step further of, so I just finished up this class with this fantastic teacher. And he was talking about how sometimes he would go out to bars in character as like an actor who was in a play, right? And he would take that character from the play and he would bring it out to the bar as that character. So that is obviously fiction, right? But what do I like the step before that, where it's like mostly your character, but also some of you, like maybe that night you decided not to use the accent that your character has because that's too hard right now. Or, you know, you don't want to be angry all the time. So you just, you add in your own pieces to this character that you're like, it's kind of a character, but it's still mostly you. It's this weird in-between world.
Yeah. Which I guess to a point is kind of related to, I think actually, maybe this is too broad of a thought, but like the, at least for me, a general part of the reason why in terms of thinking through things like artificial intelligence and robots and like future things, and like I'm more willing to lean towards the, yeah, totally, a robot could be sentient. Oh yeah, totally. Robot doctors could be as good as human doctors and blah, blah, blah. And similar to this of like, oh, of course a robot artist counts as an artist is the, I think for me, it comes more from the, yeah, because there is the inherent roboticism and inherent performance and inherent like that to what we do anyway. So like, of course a robot could be an artist because like every artist is fictional to some, whether I think about that truth, like consciously or not.
Sure.
And that same sort of way of like, yeah, of course, you know, that persona of your fictional character is to some degree that you go out to a bar with is to some degree real, because every time you go out to a bar, it's a persona that is in some, basically because everything's fake, that means every fake thing is as real as the real things.
Yes, but that I still think there are more real things than, there are some things that are more real and there are some things that are more fake, you know, like your brand isn't necessarily who you are.
Yeah.
Isn't your defining feature. And it's less real than the person who, you know, is a husband or a wife or a son.
Interesting.
Or
interesting.
Father, whatever.
Well, yeah, that's probably a little broader for the conversation about like robot musicians, but interesting. I think there could be an argument against that to say like, is there any actual, like maybe one feels closer to another than another, but like, is there any actual difference in, this is getting very like philosophy of truth and like epistemology and like philosophy of knowledge kind of thing. But like, is there any, just because something feels more real, does that make it more or less true? And what would that even mean if it did? And it's fun. I should have taken more philosophy classes.
Yeah. I honestly, third choice for a major.
Also.
After acting. And my.
Deep down, you may still be the same great kid you used to be. But it's not who you are underneath. What? It's what you do that defines you.
Batman Begins, baby. Rachel Dawes. I think she solved it for us. It's how you are. It's what you do that defines you. Yeah.
Thanks, Rachel.
Any other thoughts on Hatsune Miku? There may be something, if we're interested, like in talking about it, a thing that is interestingly sticky is this question of comparing to gorillas, where gorillas is like, it's the singular output of a, at least collective of like, artistic collective that is focused around you know, singular creative force. Is there any difference between that versus thinking about like maybe like Josie and the Pussycats or someone who've like had distinct like their set of characters but are very different musically versus in the 60s versus like the 2000s movie when it's different musicians playing them but they have the same fictional character, or even then Hatsune Miku where it's this character that exists, but exists through, I think, if I remember from the Wikipedia page, like there's over 100,000 Hatsune Miku songs. And so like, what does that do to her conception as a pop star or a musician when there is like so much freedom for literally anyone to create an equivalent Hatsune Miku song to anyone else?
Yeah. I feel like I'm turning back on my original statement of like, is she a pop star now?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, are there official Hatsune Miku songs? Like,
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. To be honest.
Is there like,
I need to read this Wikipedia page more.
And even if there was a team, does that matter if anyone can still make it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Even if it is official, what makes the official ones more or less official than all the other ones?
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I don't know. That's...
Oh, shit. She's the original Nyan Cat voice.
Oh, my God. Well, then she's definitely a pop star. Like,
damn.
That censors it. Yeah, I think I'm going to go back on what I said. I don't think she's a pop star because she... there's no like creative team behind it. She's just a voice. Like, is Siri a, can Siri be an artist? No.
Yeah. Because jumping back to what we were talking about, like, would you consider Hatsune Miku an instrument?
Yes.
To that degree of thinking of her as an instrument. Yeah, totally. But she's also the rare instrument that has a character and a persona attached to it, which makes it stickier.
I mean, you could do that for any instrument, right? Like, you could make a guitar as like, you're going to this concert to see this guitar, right? Which would be weird.
Yeah.
If the guitar started talking, you know, that'd be weird too, but it wouldn't make the guitar any more of a pop star than if you added a face and eyes to it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So this is interesting because it's like, does this also then break the mold of what yes, it breaks the mold of what we think of in terms of like artistry, and the kind of artistry that like we reward and say is like a singular creative force or at least singular creative force from a collective. It's kind of like she's the first crowdsourced, and like freely available, not freely because you have to pay money, but like a crowdsourced pop star that anyone can use and anyone can be, which is so different from the model of literally any other one. Even other fictional ones where it's like, Josie and the Pussycats, it's owned by the Archie company. And so they get to decide who gets to be the musicians to be Josie and the Pussycats in any given, you know, iteration, but it's still controlled by this like central authority to give artistic ability or artistic control to other people. Yes. That's Miku. It's like literally 100,000 songs from like anyone. And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess basically to your point where it's like, okay, you started off as yes and are now no. I started off as yes, and I'm kind of in that same boat, but I'm sort of in that like, it's a no boat for how we currently think of pop stars, but is it a maybe boat in terms of, is this a new kind of thing that should be defined as pop? Should the mold of pop star break and be inclusive of a thing like Hatsune Miku? Or does it need its own separate category? And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know.
Because she's very much treated as both. She is treated as a literal instrument you can go by and anyone can make a Hatsune Miku song if they want to. She's also treated by fans of hers as like a character that you can stand that has like a personality and a mythology and like, you know, particular songs you would want to focus on, particularly maybe some of the ones that are most popular or with other artists. And then when other artists use Miku on a song, especially now that she's grew up, blown up in popularity, you know, previously it would be more like, you're just an instrument that we're going to use on our album. But now it's like, this is an Onomatoguchi song featuring Miku. And it's weird because it's like featuring, they used a Vocaloid to build a song that adds in this extra texture onto it.
I mean, I don't think the definition of pop star should be redefined. I just think this needs a new definition of... I don't think she's a pop star, but she has a new, the instruments are now a lot more complicated. Like the notion around what an instrument means and like its brand associated with it is fundamentally changed. And I think it should be there should be a new word for branded instruments.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens when you then go see a Miku concert?
Oh God.
Are you singing an instrument?
For now, until we come up with a better word.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think I'm in the same boat, but lean the other direction. So it's like we're both in that same boat of like, oh, this just doesn't work with our current conception. And you're have like one foot in the, so I guess it's a new thing. And I have one foot in the, so let's burn down the old conception. But I think we're in the same like
That's
actual
so
space. Oh, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad we came to something sticky though. This is an interesting roller coaster of an episode where we go from like weirdly the one where you're the most certain from the beginning is the one where you're now the most wishy-washy and like uncomfortable at the end, which I kind of like.
Yeah. We're like, oh, this is an obvious answer. Of course she's a pop star. It's like, oh, well,
of course she's a pop star. Well, maybe
not. Yeah.
Oh. Dang. I didn't know she was Nyan Cat though. That's an actually very exciting new piece of knowledge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then she's famous. She's amazing.
Yeah.
What could you want from her?
If you are a virtual pop star and want to assert your personhood, then you can listen to the A-Dub Club. You can find it wherever you are currently listening to it, but also on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can find us at theadub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can also find our topics guide. This is where we have a list of all the different things that we talk about, and you can click on any item in that list, and you'll be taken to all the episodes that touch on that thing. For instance, this one will talk about Hatsune Miku, as well as like all of the paralyzing philosophy of self that comes from thinking about artificial intelligences and fictional characters that are in music tools. You can also find us on Twitter at the AW Club. That's theawclub. You can email us at theawclub@gmail.com, theawclub@gmail.com. And if you send us emails, we will probably make fun of you on air. And I think that is it.
Yeah. That's it. AW Club out.
AW Club out. That is. But that philosophy, not degree, but philosophy like
101 course.
Nah, what was I going to say? Do I even want to take a bit again because I can't remember the word? concentration. That's what I was going to say. I'm going to do the bit again. The spark is gone, but I don't care anymore. Yeah, put that philosophy concentration to use.
Yeah.
That was worth it. It was totally worth it. I'm going to get all the laughs from that one. Watch me cut the whole thing. I'll just cut the whole segment and put it at the end. This is a loopy one. This is weird. This is what happens when we record on a Tuesday after we've had to like actually work and or I've had McDonald's.
Yeah.